we got the alternative energy. Right. Nuclear free autonomy.
And welcome to the Radioactive Show, produced at the studios of 3CR Melbourne and heard nationally on the Community Radio Network.
The Donald Rare Earths and Mineral Sands Project is near the town of Minyip in the Wimmera region of Victoria, about 300 kilometres northwest of Melbourne. The project plans on developing a mineral deposit discovered in the 1970s that contains significant reserves of zirconium, titanium and rare earth elements including neodymium and praseodymium. The Victorian government approved the Donald Project work plan for construction and operation of the mine in June 2025. And in October 2025, the Australian government gave it major project status. This was the day after the announcement of the US-Australia Critical Minerals Framework, a deal negotiated by Trump and Albanese to see billions of dollars in financing for projects necessary for producing weapons, electronics, and renewables, and designed to challenge China's dominance in the area of critical minerals. This comes at the same time that Environment Minister Murray Watt tabled reforms to the Environmental Protection and Biodiversity Act that could see exemptions designed to push through projects considered in the national interest. And we know that the Donald Project is aligned with Australia's Critical Minerals Strategy, a national framework to grow the critical minerals sector, and the Victorian Critical Minerals Roadmap, which is also designed to support the industry. A final investment decision is expected in 2026, with production anticipated to begin around 2027. The Donald Project is a joint venture between Energy Fuels in the US and Astron Corporation in Australia, who will produce a rare earth element concentrate on site. Then 100% of this concentrate will be transported via the Port of Geelong to Energy Fuels White Mesa Mill in Utah in the United States for final specialized processing and refinement.
Hello and welcome to the Radioactive Show. We're here on the unceded lands of the Kulin Nation and we pay our respects to elders past and present. My name's Michaela Stubbs and I'm here in the studio with
Sam Gabbard. Hi everyone.
And today on the Radioactive Show, we have got a couple of special guests coming up. We're going to be joined first up by Dr. Jim Green, the Friends of the Earth Australia anti-nuclear campaigner. And later in the show, we're going to be joined by Yolanda Badback from the White Mesa community. And we're joined by these two guests today because we're going to be talking about the Donald Rare Earth mining project in Western Victoria, and this is a situation of uranium mining by stealth as we see it. And so let's get Dr. Jim joining us straight up. Yeah. How are you going today, Jim Green?
Hey Michaela, hey Sam.
Hi.
Now Jim, due to the really strong movement against uranium mining in the 60s and 70s and the anti-nuclear campaigns of the movement against uranium mining and Friends of the Earth and others, Victoria has had a long-standing ban on uranium mining since 1983, and this ban was again reviewed by a parliamentary inquiry in 2020, which agreed that that legislation should stand. Can you tell us a bit about the history, this legislation, and where things are at with it now?
Yeah, well, it was kind of a different universe back then, Michaela. There was a huge anti-nuclear movement. You would have trade unionists and protesters boarding ships that were loading uranium, a huge protest at Labor national conferences every year. So it was just an enormous issue, you know. Labor backbenchers in federal parliament would heckle Treasurer and then Prime Minister Paul Keating when he was making pro-uranium comments. And so it was in that context that this legislation was enacted back in 1983. There's kind of a side issue here, which is, does Victoria have any profitable uranium deposits? And that's still an open question. But of course, the problem we're dealing with today is uranium mining as secondary to the mining of other minerals. And it's this backdoor approach that's quite disturbing.
Yeah, I noticed in some of the discussion around this, the company is saying that the radiation in the ore is below the levels that would see this piece of legislation be applied. But my understanding is that they're going to be doing some processing on site that would then raise those levels to a significant level. Can you tell us a bit about that detail?
Well, I think there's two issues there. As you were speaking, I was thinking, well, you know, it's small comfort and no consolation if uranium mined from the Wimmera, from this Donald project or similar projects, ends up in a Fukushima-style nuclear disaster, or if it ends up in uranium weapons. It doesn't matter whether it's primary mining or secondary mining. There's still the question of Australia contributing to unacceptable risks around the world. And another part of that question is, because they're concentrating the ore and concentrating the radioactivity, then there becomes a question of, do they need a dedicated radioactive waste repository for this open pit mine because they've reached that threshold of radioactivity, or can they simply dump the tailings in the pits, which is presumably what they plan to do? Mm. And I worry that that may not be assessed properly or thoroughly, and that the company will simply be allowed to dump its tailings waste, even if it does meet the threshold criteria for disposal in a dedicated radioactive waste repository, which would, of course, drastically increase the cost of the project.
Yeah, that's true. And I suppose, too, Jim, the other thing about, you know, these rare earth projects, which people are probably hearing a lot about, when we say rare earth minerals, it just covers a huge range of things that they could possibly be looking for and seeking to extract. But it's not clear when they identify a mine site what the primary focus is going to be, and that can change. What's your sort of reading on how these projects are being rolled out in Australia and the risks of what they're actually trying to get out of the ground?
Well, it's a really good question, Sam. I'm not sure that anyone has a good answer, because, as you say, the proposed mining tends to change from time to time. And also, you know, these products, these rare earths and heavy minerals, they have a vast array of uses. Some of those are military. So in addition to the problem of weapons proliferation, of uranium ending up in nuclear weapons, either in the US, where this Donald project proposes to export the ore, or there's another one where the proposal was to send it to China, where you'd have obvious weapons proliferation concerns. But there are other military uses of these rare earths as well. And, you know, if we're exporting these products to the US or elsewhere for good, noble purposes, for everyday products that we need and for advanced technology, well, that's great. But, you know, again, we don't know what the end destination of these products will be. We could easily be contributing to the build-up of the American military in all sorts of ways through these products.
Yeah, well, Donald Trump directly said that when he announced the deal that he'd done with Albanese back in October last year. He said that whilst the critical minerals have a wide range of uses, this US-Australia framework, he linked that to military protection, including ships, vehicles, guns and ammunitions. And so we saw that deal that would see the sort of fast tracking of critical mineral mining. And then the next day they announced that the Donald Rare Earth Mine Project would have major project status.
Yeah, I guess you could see this as a microcosm of the Australian and US military becoming increasingly intertwined, so that there's no longer any separation whatsoever. But yeah, it's a real worry. And one of the other issues going on in the US is that they are in the process of dramatically weakening radiation protection standards and dramatically increasing the allowable radiation dose, both for workers and for members of the public. So we'll have a US company operating in Australia. Theoretically, they should be complying with Australian standards, but I worry that they will only comply with their own standards, both here and in the US. So that's another set of problems there.
Yeah, I mean, you just touched upon standards there, Jim, and one of the concerns here, I think, by sort of linking this into this nebulous concept of rare earths, the mines and these projects are going ahead now, basically being pushed around, environmental laws and standards that have already been established on the basis that, well, this is new, this is now rare earths, and these are all desperately needed things, even though that, you know, it's not clear what's being mined, what the priority is, where these things will go. So it's a very convenient way of just skirting everything that's been established and put down, and violating those laws and saying, well, we don't have to apply to them.
Yeah, there are certainly problems there, Sam. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, they're one of the mining exploration executives, Warren Peace, said, well, which is a funny name, but he said rare earths aren't that rare, but what's rare is finding these right elements together in the same place in a commercially viable deposit. So it's really about, well, it doesn't matter where they are, as long as we can find a commercially viable reason to extract these things, then it doesn't matter if it's in a place that's been declared environmentally sensitive or that have strong community resistance to those mines going in. Yeah, so when we talk about this being, you know, uranium mining by stealth, it's almost, you know, mining by stealth on a large scale and undermining all of the work that's been done over many, many years to try and rein this industry in.
Yeah, exactly. Also, with so many of those issues, Sam, formally they will have to comply with Australian law and Victorian law, but, you know, where's the monitoring and the compliance there? Often that is where the whole thing just falls apart, and it's a real problem if you've got a US cowboy operation running the project. So there needs to be much stronger standards. There needs to be strict compliance and monitoring. And one other thing they could do to take the edge off the problems with this proposal is not to extract the uranium, because that opens up a whole set of issues with respect to nuclear disasters, nuclear weapons proliferation, and so on and so forth. And they want this to be a huge mine. They're planning to dig up 7.5 million tonnes of ore every year, which is comparable to the gigantic Olympic Dam copper uranium mine in South Australia, which processes 10 million tonnes a year. So it's a huge operation, but the uranium is only a very small component of the end product and not a very profitable aspect of it. So I think they should easily be able to configure this project so it's profitable even without uranium extraction.
Well, regardless of what they're extracting, there's going to be a huge environmental and public health risk to people living in the local area. There's going to be the long-term impacts of tailings with heavy metals and radioactive materials in them that will be there for hundreds of thousands of years, no doubt. And we know that the communities at White Mesa Mill in Utah are also opposed to this and are already suffering the impacts of that US uranium milling plant that also processes other rare earths, but that is the only uranium mill in the US that's operating. And we're going to be speaking to Yolanda actually up next, so we might wrap up there. But any final notes on this, Jim?
Oh, no, well, just solidarity to your next speaker, Yolanda, because they have had a hell of a time there at the White Mesa Mill site in Utah. It's got a long history of controversy. They've had non-compliance notices from state and federal regulators, problems with underground pollution of aquifers. There's a health study ongoing from the Center for Disease Control, and I understand that the study is ongoing. The US company Energy Fuels has been sued by the Grand Canyon Trust. I believe that was in relation to radon exposure, and of course it operates as a de facto radioactive waste dump. So that would be one of the most heartbreaking aspects of this Donald rare earths mine, is we would be contributing to the worsening of those problems in Utah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Jim, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Thanks, Mick. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Jim. Bye-bye.
You're tuned to the Radioactive Show, produced in the studios of 3CR Community Radio and broadcast across the continent thanks to the Community Radio Network. Now we're joined by Yolanda Badback, a member of the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe and the White Mesa Concern Community Group, who are demanding closure of White Mesa Mill. Owned by Energy Fuels Incorporated, it processes uranium ore into yellow cake for nuclear fuel and is the only functioning uranium mill in the United States. The mill was originally built in 1979 to process raw uranium ore, but as the price of uranium dropped, the mill sought out alternate feeds, such as processing of rare earths and radioactive waste. For over two decades, the White Mesa Mill has processed and stored radioactive waste from around North America, and now the mill plans to receive waste from Estonia and Japan as well. Remaining on site is the toxic liquid and solid waste. White Mesa Mill is where 100% of the rare earths that are planned to be extracted from the Donald Mine in the Wimmera in Victoria would be sent if the project goes ahead. The facility is the focus of controversy regarding environmental justice and contamination risks to the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe, who alongside environmental organizations have long advocated for the closure of the mill because of the toxic materials that contaminate the air and water sources, threatening aquifers and the San Juan and Colorado rivers.
We are now very lucky to be joined by Yolanda Badback from the White Mesa Concerned Community. Thank you so much for joining us on the Radioactive Show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Now, Yolanda, could you just introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a bit about the work that you have been doing around the White Mesa Uranium Mill?
Hello, my name is Yolanda Badback. I'm from White Mesa. It's a little Ute reservation. It's just like 5 miles now south of the White Mesa Mill. I've been working for at least 6 years now, fighting against this mill, trying not to have any more uranium or ore to be delivered to the White Mesa Mill. So I've been going to meetings. I've been reaching out, letting people know, you know, that are out there, to let them know that my community is being harmed by this uranium mill, because my community, it runs on well water, and my well water, the towers are just north of our reservation. Our population is like about 250. And the trucks, as of today, the trucks are coming from Pinyon Plain Mine. There's like about 12 trucks that travel back and forth Monday through Friday, getting uranium from the Arizona. And now we just have just recently got trucks coming from the north through Blanding, Monticello, from LaSalle Mountain, which they're hauling the ore down to the White Mesa Mill. So they're getting two truck routes right at this moment from both directions, from the north and from the south. And, you know, I've been doing that. I'm an activist. I've been doing this for like six years. I'm going on 7 years now. I hold a spiritual walk in October to let people know, you know, the awareness of what I'm doing in my community. Our headquarters is in Colorado, but we end up on the Utah side, and this is where I lived all my life. I went to school in Blanding, and, you know, dealing with a lot of these stuff, wanting, you know, clean air, clean water for our community, our next generation, you know, trying to have them have the clean environment here in our community for our future generation. Anytime if the mill keeps receiving uranium or ore, they're going to expand. They're going to expand south, so it'll be coming towards my reservation. So I just want, you know, let people know out there that, you know, that's what I do. I try to get my word out there to let people know, you know, to support me, to try to stop, you know, the ore and the uranium stuff being coming into the White Mesa Mill, being transported.
Absolutely. Well, we really want to help get the word out about your struggles and the campaign, and particularly as we have a direct connection now with the Donald Rare Earth Mine, which has just been approved not far from where we're based here in Melbourne, about 280 kilometres away, and they're going to be sending rare earths over to the White Mesa Mill, which will contain uranium. Now, we've got a ban on uranium mining here, but they're sort of saying the levels are so low in the ore, they're not going to consider it as uranium mining, but we know that uranium will be extracted alongside other minerals at White Mesa. So we're grateful for the opportunity to connect up and work in solidarity of the impacts both here and what's happening on your country. Can you tell us a bit more about the radioactive waste that they're bringing from all around the country and the world to this mill? Can you tell us a bit about what's happening in that respect?
Well, right at this moment, you know, what's happening now is they're just hauling in all the ore and the uranium into this mill. And what they're doing is just putting it in barrels and sticking it down underneath the ground right at this moment. And, you know, we have Navajo aquifer around the area there, so our EAP has to come over every month, like twice a month, to come and check the water to make sure there's, you know, nothing seeping into the Navajo aquifer. So right at this moment, you know, they had desecrated our ancestors and our kivas that were there in the area. And a lot of our elderly used to get, you know, herbs for winter to keep on hand for, you know, for the cold. When somebody gets a cold, we gather our herbs. And now to this day, we don't even have any of those stuff around the area. So we have to travel quite a ways to gather our herbs for the upcoming winter to have. And so, you know, right at this moment, I'm just trying to, you know, all I want to do is just to shut the mill down, have them clean it up, you know, and move it somewhere, you know, where there's really nobody in the area, no reservation, no town, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, so it won't harm anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I was having a look at some of the information about the White Mesa Ute spiritual walk, and you were talking about, you know, just being able to even smell the mill when it's running from your homes. How is the community coping with this at the moment?
Well, you know, when the mill is up and going, you know, with the stacks of smoke that are coming out of the pipes there at the mill, we could smell the chemicals in our community. A lot of our people, you know, once they see the stacks coming out of the smokes coming out of the stacks, our community members are not intentionally outside. They're majority inside. I know that a lot of the young ones in my area here on my reservation here, they're complaining about having asthma that they never used to have it before. So basically, you know, when the stacks are coming out of the pipes up from up there, majority of the people, they go into their house and they stay inside their house, because when it gets really hot, like during the summer, we can start smelling the chemicals coming out of those stacks. So, you know, you won't see a lot of people out in their yard during the summer when it's like that, because you can, you know, you can really smell the chemicals coming out.
Yeah, that's terrible. We'd love to stay connected with you. We unfortunately out of time for today's radioactive show, but if people want to connect with you and find out more about this, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, they can get in contact with me. They can go on to the website that says White Mesa Concerns, and they can be able to, you know, put their comments, or if they want more information, there's a website there that you can log on to that, you know, the themes that I do, they're posting themes right at this moment.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us today. We look forward to speaking with you more soon and working together.
Well, thank you for having me, you know, be on your broadcast, and thank you for reaching out to me. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much to Dr. Jim Green from Friends of the Earth Australia for joining us on the show today. And you can sign the Friends of the Earth petition calling for Anthony Albanese to clarify how major projects will be impacted by the US-Australia critical minerals deal, and demanding a guarantee that they will all be subject to regular environmental and social assessment processes. You can find this on the website melbournefoe.org.au/Trump_Albo_rare_earths_deal, and we'll put the links to everything that we've talked about on the show today in the podcast notes. And you can find our podcast at 3cr.org.au/radioactive. Thanks again to Yolanda Badback from White Mesa Concerned Community, which is a grassroots group of concerned tribal members of the Ute Mountain Ute tribe that work to inform fellow tribal members and the public about the struggle to protect the community, health, water, air, land, culture, and sacred sites from the toxic and radioactive contamination from the uranium mill, and demand that the uranium mill be closed and cleaned up. You can find information about their campaign at protectwhitemesa.org. Thanks so much for listening. The Radioactive Show was produced in the studios of 3CR Community Radio on unceded Kulin lands, with thanks to the ongoing support of the Nuclear Free Collective at Friends of the Earth Melbourne. It's distributed across the continent, thanks to the Community Radio Network. Thank you so much for listening, and join us again next week for more news and views on nuclear peace and energy issues. No.
Feel that anger, feel that rage. How much can we take? We're living in a nuclear age. What the hell for? 'Cause you cut down mother, watch her bleed, and eat your yellow cake.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.